Today's Bible verse is from 2 Samuel, verses 9 through 13. You'll find this on page 221. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your father Saul, and you will always eat at my table."
Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servants to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet.
Thank you very much, Eva and Georgia. Please keep your Bibles open there at 2 Samuel chapter 9. And before we look at it together, I'm going to pray and ask for the Lord's help. So as we sit, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that because you love us, you speak to us, because you want us to know you better. And we pray now that by your Spirit's help, as we open your word, you would open our eyes to see wonderful things about your Son. And for his honor we pray. Amen. Let me introduce you to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, come and stand by me. Mephibosheth wears a convict suit. There's the little cap. He wears a convict suit because he is a wanted man. His grandfather Saul tried to kill King David. And in those days, if your grandfather was an enemy of the king, that meant you were an enemy of the king as well. Which means you better stay away from the king, because if he finds you, he might chop off your head. Mephibosheth is a wanted man. He's not just a wanted man, he is a crippled man. He uses crutches. That's because when he was 5 years old, his family were fighting against the king, and the king won, and his grandfather Saul and his father Jonathan were killed, And everyone who was a member of the family who were fighting against King David was being rounded up. So Mephibosheth's childminder realized that poor old Mephibosheth was in danger. So she picked him up and ran for it. They ran to hide. And as she was running, she tripped over and fell. And Mephibosheth landed on his back. And she said, "Get up, get up. We need to escape." But he couldn't. He couldn't move his legs. And ever since then, he's been going about on crutches. He's a wanted man. He's a crippled man. He's also a poor man. He had been the grandson of King Saul. He used to live in big houses with lots of servants. But when Saul and then Jonathan died, all their land and all their big houses and all their servants got taken over by King David. So now we read, did you see that in verse 4? "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He's at the house of Machir, son of Amiel." Do you see? He hasn't got his own home. He's sleeping on the sofa of a friend. Machir, son of Amiel. And maybe he made a bit of money selling Big Issue on the streets because there was nothing else he could do because he was a wanted man, a crippled man, and he was a poor man. Now, you may have missed it, but we're in the middle of the World Cup. And what I'd like to know is there anyone here who plays football? Anyone who plays? If you play football, I'd love about 8 or 11 of us to just join me at the front here. If you play football, can you come and stand at the front? Because I need to select some players for my team. Mephibosheth, can you line up? Okay, line up there, footballers. That's good. Line up. Now, you need to face me. Step back a bit so I can assess you. Let me see who I'm going to have. You look quite good. I'll have you. You can be in my team. Well, you've even got your kit on. We'll have you, definitely. Yeah, you two guys look pretty good. No, you don't look so good. You look pretty good, though. I'll have you on my side. You look brilliant. Can I have you on my side? I'd love to have you on my side. Are they here? Yeah. Are they football fans as well? Yeah. You don't look so good. But you guys look good. I'll have you on my team. That's good. And I think I'll have you. Brilliant. So I've got my team. Brilliant, brilliant. But we won't have him, will we? Because he'd be useless, wouldn't he? Don't you think? Yeah. He'd be useless. We're not going to have you because we think you'll be useless. But we're the team, yeah? We're the team. How do you think poor Mephibosheth is feeling right now? How do you think he's feeling? Left out and sad. Yes. How does it feel when you're the one person who is not picked? We're all part of the team, but you're not picked. How does it feel? How does it feel when you're the one person who isn't invited to the party? How does it feel when you're the one person nobody wants to sit next to at lunch, at school? It really hurts, doesn't it? Because it's not about the things you've done, it's about who you are. And it makes you feel small. And it makes you just want to run and hide. You guys, go and sit down. We'll have our first practice a little bit later on. Just think about Mephibosheth and how he's feeling. When you're not selected, it makes you feel small. Makes you just want to run and hide. And that's Mephibosheth. In Hebrew, his name has the word shame tucked into it. And it was a constant reminder of how he felt. He was ashamed of who he was. People would have said to him, "Oh, cool, his family were the king's enemies. He's right to be ashamed of himself, enemy of the king." And the fact that he was crippled meant he couldn't work for a living. And the fact that he was poor meant he scrounged off others, which meant in those days he would have been the lowest of the low. No wonder he spent his life hiding away in Lodebar. Lodebar was Nowheresville. Lodebar was miles and miles and miles from anywhere because he didn't want anyone to find him. And he especially didn't want King David to find him. Because if King David found him, he might chop off his head. But one day, there was a knock on the door. "Who is it?" said Mephibosheth. "It's soldiers sent by King David." "What? How did he know where I was?" "Ziba told him." "Ziba? He's one of my grandfather's servants. Why did he tell the king where I live? How could he?" And then can you imagine what happened next? You imagine poor Mephibosheth bundled into the back of a rickety old cart, bashed about on a long journey to Jerusalem. His heart is pounding. "What is King David going to do to me?" And they drag him through the palace, and they drag him before the throne of David, and he falls on his face. And he's thinking, "I am a wanted man. I am an enemy of the king. I am a crippled man. There's nothing I can do for David to make myself useful for him, to work for him. I am a poor man. There's nothing I can give him. What will King David do to me?" What do you think? What will King David do to him? And we're going to find out in a moment. But now, we're going to sing. Have a look at your sheets. We're not actually going to sing the song that's next on the list. Look across the page to the right-hand side. We're going to sing the song that starts, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." Let's stand to sing. Do sit down. Do you remember where we were? Mephibosheth, on his face before the king, bowed down before King David, thinking, "What is the king going to do to me?" And David says sweet words. Do you see verse 7? Can you spot that? Can you see what David says? "Don't be afraid." He says that because Mephibosheth is terrified. He thinks David's going to chop off his head. And David says, "I'm not going to chop off your head." Do you see what he says? "I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will surely show you kindness." See, what? Why? Why will David show kindness to Mephibosheth, who is an enemy? Well, Mephibosheth doesn't know, but we do, don't we? We were told back in verse 1. Can you spot it back in verse 1? What David says? "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" You see, the King David had made a promise. He'd promised Jonathan that whatever happened, he would be kind to Jonathan's children. And here is Mephibosheth, and yes, he is part of the enemy family, but he's one of Jonathan's children. And so David says to him, "Mephibosheth, because I made a promise to your dad, I'm going to be kind to you, because a promise is a promise." So do you see what he does in verse 7? "I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan." And he shows him kindness in two ways. First, he says, "I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul." Mephibosheth had no land. He couldn't grow food. That's why he had to scrounge off others. And the king gives him back his land. But of course, dear old Mephibosheth, he's on crutches, so he can't sow seeds and he can't harvest crops. So the king orders Ziba to farm the land for him. Do you see verse 10? He says to Ziba, "You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." Do you see the kindness of God's king? He takes care of his people. He makes sure they're looked after, that they are provided for. And that's the first way he's kind. And it's very wonderful. But the second way he is kind is even more wonderful. Do you see in verse 7? how it ends, and you will always eat at my table. And in the story, we hear that four times. You will always eat at my table. Because that's the thing that's meant to really hit us. The king wants Mephibosheth to sit and eat at table with him. What? Because the thing about sitting at table with the king is the only people who got to sit at table with the king were the king's sons and the king's daughters. Do you see what the king is saying to Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, I will make you a prince. I'll make you a prince. And Mephibosheth is amazed. You see verse 8? Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Who here is a dog lover? Quite a few. Who here actually has a pet dog? Anyone has a pet dog? What's your dog called? Bob. Bob. Not Rex or Fido or Rover. Bob. Anyone else have a dog with a slightly more conventional name? What's your dog called? Henry. Something has changed since, you know, the old days when certainly we used to have dogs. And anyone else got a dog with a more normal name? And I bet there's someone here with a dog called Dave or something. Anyway, we are a nation of dog lovers, yeah? And your dogs, the dogs that you own, do you let them in the house? Yes, do you let them up on the furniture? No, not the but in the house, okay? In the house. In the ancient world, people did not keep dogs as pets. Dogs were smelly old flea bags. And if you saw a dog, you would shoo it away. You'd say, "Get away!" And a dead dog, well, think about the health and safety implications of a dead dog. Yeah? All the flies and the germs around a dead dog. If you saw a dead dog, you get rid of it fast. And you see what Mephibosheth thinks of himself. He says, "I'm a dead dog. I'm an enemy of the king. I'm a cripple. I can't even work. I'm poor. I have to scrounge off others." Everyone despised him, and he has started to despise himself. "I'm just a dead dog. Nobody would want me around. And the king, he definitely won't want me around. The king will want to get rid of me." But here is the wonderful thing. It's true. He is an enemy of the king. It's true. He is a cripple. He can't work. There's nothing he can do for the king. It's true. He's poor. There's nothing he can give the king. But here is the wonderful thing. God's king doesn't want to get rid of him. God's king invites him to sit at his table. "So come and sit at my table with me, Mephibosheth. Come and join me." Now, Mephibosheth, would you like some food?
Yes,
would you? Great. What sort of food would you like? Would you like some popcorn? Do you like popcorn? Yes, you're all my servants. Can some of my servants please bring the popcorn for my son? Could somebody bring some popcorn? Do you like little sausages?
Yeah.
Could somebody bring the sausages for my... That, and when you... when you deliver the food, you bow to my son. To my son, yes? Popcorn and sausages. And what do you like? Do you like little fairy cakes? Yeah, could somebody bring the fairy cakes, please? And the excuse me, sir. You need to bow to my son, please. You do need to bow. You need to. That's more like it. Thank you very much. And that's more like it. And then, do you like chocolate fingers? There's a chocolate finger. You should be tucking in. Tuck in. What about jelly? Do you like jelly? We've got some jelly. Look at that. Do you like jelly? That's good. Come and enjoy the jelly. And Smarties. Look, Smarties. Do you like Smarties? Help yourself. That's lovely bowing. That's very, very good. Is there anything else we've missed? We've got some Pringles. They're very good for you. And just, we've got some fruit. We've got some pineapples on sticks. Do you like pineapples on sticks? Thank you all very much, servants. You're dismissed. Thank you very much for your help. Do you remember how Mephibosheth felt when he wasn't selected for the team? Do you remember that? The lowest of the low, small. How do you think dear old Mephibosheth is feeling now? How do you think he's feeling? What do you reckon? Happy. He's happy. He's at the king's table, enjoying this feast with the king. Do you see how our passage ends? Verse 13. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. It's like the writer is saying, can you get your head around that? He's not hiding in Lodabar anymore. He's living in Jerusalem because he eats with the king every day. And then the writer adds, and he was crippled in both feet. In other words, he can't get over how strange it is. He's crippled in both feet, but he's eating with the king. He was a dead dog, but he's been treated like the king's son. He's the lowest of the low, but he's become the highest of the high. Why? You can imagine Mephibosheth pinching himself, going, what am I doing at the king's table? Why am I being treated like the king's son? Why? What have I done to deserve it? Answer? Nothing. He's an enemy of the king. He's not made up for the past by working in the king's garden. He can't. He's a cripple. There's only one reason why Mephibosheth is at the table of the king enjoying the feast. There's only one reason. Do you know what it is? God's king has promised to be kind to his enemies. God's king has promised to be kind to his enemies. Go and sit down, Mephibosheth. Some last thoughts as we close. The Bible says that you and I are a lot like Mephibosheth. We do have reasons to be ashamed of who we are. He was afraid to stand before King David, and we do have reasons to be afraid to stand before the King, King Jesus. Think of how we have been his enemies. We've not wanted to have him in charge of our lives. And now we feel kind of useless, don't we? We feel like we've got nothing we can do for him. We feel poor. There's nothing we can give him. And we feel like dead dogs. And we think, well, King Jesus, he won't want a dead dog like me. I'm not worthy. And the thing is, it's true. I'm not worthy. But God's king has promised to be kind to people who are not worthy. Let's turn to one other verse in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In the Red Bibles, it's page 796. And when you found it, put a finger on it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Point to it. Have you all got a sight of Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Here's what it says. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we think if we are worthy, then he will love us. But you see what it says? He demonstrated his love for us when we were still sinners, when we were not worthy. And in his love, when we were still sinners, when we were not worthy, Christ died for us. On the cross, he was covered in the shame of our sin so we could be covered in the glory of a place at his table. Friends, do you ever feel like a dead dog? And maybe you feel, if only I came from a different family, or if only I could rewind the past, or if I could do really well in my exams, or if I was good at football, or if I was beautiful, then I wouldn't need to feel like such a dead dog. You feel that? No. The only way to stop feeling like a dead dog is to listen to what King Jesus says. And friends, maybe some of you have never listened to him before. And for some of you, it's because you think, well, he's the king. And I don't like kings. I don't want to do what he says because I think he's just going to be mean and spoil things. I'm not going to listen to him. Or some of you, you don't listen to him because you think, well, he's the king. And there's no way he'd love someone like me. No. King Jesus is a king who is kind, and he invites you to sit at table and eat with him. And when you listen to what he says, and when you turn to him and recognize him as king, that's when you don't need to feel like a dead dog anymore. Because that's when you are not a dead dog anymore. Because that's when you have been lifted from shame to glory. That's when you become a prince or a princess. It's when you become a loved child of God. And maybe you have listened to what he says about this, and you are sitting at his table, but it's like Mephibosheth. You have to keep pinching yourself. You're saying, are you sure about this? Can I really sit at his table? Am I a loved child of God? It sounds too good to be true after how I've treated him, how I've got nothing to offer him, nothing to give him. Why should I be sitting at his table? And the answer is, there's only one reason. God's king keeps his promises to be kind to his enemies. I'm going to pray. Just before I lead us in a prayer, I want to speak to you if you're someone who has never listened to the king before. And maybe you've been listening today. And you've heard his invitation to come and sit at table with him. Wouldn't today be a great day to respond to that invitation? You came in here as a dead dog. You go home a loved child of God. Wouldn't that be a great day? If you're not quite sure what to say to respond to him, I'm going to say some words, a prayer that you could say in your heart. I'm going to say these words slowly to give you time to say them in your heart. And they're going to be sorry, thank you, and please. So as we sit, let's pray. Lord Jesus, sorry. Sorry for being one of your enemies and not wanting you in charge. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that in your kindness, you died on the cross to take away my shame. And Lord Jesus, please, please, could I sit with you at your table now and forever? Amen. Can I say, if you prayed that prayer, then the king heard it. But if you prayed that prayer, you might want to tell your parents or the friend you came with and ask them to help you to start new life living as a prince or a princess, a loved child of God. And if you're not quite sure whom to tell, why don't you tell me? Catch me over tea. I'd love to talk some more.